This is ExpertHR.com, your go-to HR compliance resource for federal, state, and municipal law. I'm David Weisenfeld for ExpertHR.com, published by Reed Business Information and proudly partnered with LexisNexis. On this podcast, we'll take an in-depth look at one of the most notable trends affecting employers today, namely the expansion of leave laws at the state and local levels. Three states have enacted paid sick leave laws, and a growing number of cities also have done so. Meanwhile, domestic violence leave laws and others are also sprouting up. We spoke last year with Portland, Oregon employment attorney Kyle Abraham of the Baron Liebman Law Firm about leave-related issues, and the topic has only continued to grow in importance since then. So we've invited him back to shed more light on these latest leave law developments. Kyle, welcome back.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. Kyle, I'll start with this. Is this paid sick leave law issue something the employers that you talk to are still concerned about? And are their fears justified or misplaced?
Absolutely. It's something employers are still concerned about and still talk about. When the laws were being contemplated, I think a lot of employers' concerns were with how their current paid time off policies that they provided for their employees would match up with the obligations under the laws. And that's still a current concern that employers have of whether what they're providing is consistent with what the law requires. And the laws also provide some administrative record-keeping obligations, and employers are concerned with that. Are they keeping the right records, and are they instituting processes so that they maintain those records accordingly? We haven't seen a lot of litigation at this point with respect to some of the employers' concerns. The laws are still relatively new when you look at how recently they've been passed. But the concerns of the employers have been more with, am I doing it right? Am I complying with the law? And I think that as far as being misplaced or justified, time will tell, depending on how in the weeds the administrative agencies get with enforcing some of the obligations.
We've seen California, Connecticut, and Massachusetts enact paid sick leave laws in fairly quick succession. Do you think we'll see more statewide measures like those in 2015?
Yes, David, I'm sure we will. In fact, Oregon has a pending House and Senate bill for paid sick time in this coming session. I would be surprised if some version of the law did not get passed here in Oregon. So it's only a matter of what the laws look like, but there's absolutely growing momentum for paid leave laws across the state.
Kyle, President Obama recently signed an executive order directing government agencies to provide up to 6 weeks of paid sick leave for federal workers with a new child. And in his State of the Union address, he called on Congress to pass a law that would mandate that most employers provide up to 7 days of paid sick leave. But being what we know about Washington, D.C. and the division there, is it fair to say that federal legislation is still a ways off in this area?
Yeah, I think you're right on that, David. Absolutely. There just seems to be certain gridlock in Washington as far as the federal laws that are passed. I think that's why we've seen the movement in the state laws and local city ordinance that address the paid sick time laws. But as there's more and more debate and discussion on this, I think it's only a matter of time before some federal law gets passed, but we're still a ways off, I think.
So with it being a ways off, as you said, this is really going to fall to the states and the cities. So if I'm a multi-state employer based somewhere that doesn't require paid sick leave, what kind of policy should I have?
The lack of a single federal law on paid sick leave places an administrative burden on such multi-state employers, because the employers need to keep up with the laws in the different cities and the states. And so what type of policies those employers should have depends on their desire to put time and effort into monitoring local laws where they operate versus the cost of just having a blanket company-wide policy that satisfies the most generous law where they operate. So they could either institute supplemental policies to comply with the law in the different cities and states that have the paid sick time laws, or they can just decide to apply the benefit to all of their employees across their operations.
Well, paid sick leave certainly has been a notable trend in your area, the Pacific Northwest, as Portland, Seattle, and actually just in late January, Tacoma, have passed these measures. What's been the effect of those laws on employers?
David, by and large, employers previously provided some paid time off for their employees even before the laws went into effect. So the real effect on employers has been first to determine if their current policies comply with the local laws. And if they don't, the next step for employers has been to determine how to amend their policies to comply with the requirements of the laws. For an example, an employer may allow employees to accrue and use paid time off only after they've completed a 6-month probationary period. The effect on such employers really has been to reduce the probationary period an employee must wait before they can accrue or use paid time off to comply with the laws, which have typically been closer to 90 days instead of a 6-month period.
Again, we're speaking with Portland's Oregon employment attorney, Kyle Abraham of the Baron Liebman Law Firm. Kyle, another area where there's been a new protected class emerging involves domestic violence victims. We've seen some new leave laws in that area. What can you tell us about them?
The laws related to domestic violence victims really take two different forms. Oregon passed laws protecting domestic violence victims a few years back, and the laws will either operate as kind of traditional leave laws similar to the FEMLA, or the Family and Medical Leave Act, or they'll operate closer to disability laws such as the Americans with Disabilities Act. So under the law in Oregon, an employer is obligated to provide a reasonable accommodation for employees who are victims of domestic violence. And that could include an accommodation of a request for unpaid time off, unless it would otherwise cause an undue hardship on the employer.
Is this an area where you think there needs to be more supervisor training of what is and is not covered? For instance, an employee suffering from a debilitating illness may be an obvious candidate for leave, but an individual who needs to take time off for, say, a court date relating to a domestic incident may seem, at least at first glance, like a different category. What are your thoughts on that?
Sure, David. I think supervisors need to understand when to report information to the HR experts. And any time a supervisor learns that an employee has been a victim of domestic violence in states that cover domestic violence as a protected leave, it should absolutely be reported to the HR representative for that company. Then the information that the supervisor learns needs to remain confidential. A lot of these laws provide that employers must keep the information that show the employee was a victim of domestic violence confidential. As I mentioned before, there are a number of nuances in the laws of protecting victims of domestic violence, whether it's treated as a request for an accommodation similar to disability laws versus a request for time off similar to the leave laws, is a very nuanced analysis that supervisors probably shouldn't be handling on their own right away, and they should be getting some expert help from the HRs. So it's a matter of supervisors flagging the issue, knowing what to report to HR, and then the company as a whole can deal with and address the requests in compliance with the law.
And I know your state has a law in this area. What's been the nature of that, and how has that worked from your experience?
It's relatively been a seamless transition for employers in Oregon because I think a lot of the supervisors have just reported the domestic violence. It's a sympathetic time off. Employers want their employees to be able to work in a safe environment, want them to be able to come to work and focus on work while they're there, and to allow them to have some time off to get their affairs in order so that they're living in a safe environment even when they leave the workplace is important to employers. The other nuance of the Oregon law is that there's no set time frame for how many days off is protected under these laws. It's a reasonable standard. And so employers aren't mandated to give 12 weeks a year like FEMLA. So it's a matter of the employees asking for more specific time off that meets their needs rather than knowing that they're entitled to a set bank of time. And so I think that's really helped institute the time off being provided to domestic violence victims to help them address those issues and then be able to stay focused on work.
Well, speaking of areas that can be tricky for employees, your state has also been a leader when it comes to bereavement leave. Is this something that most employers are providing these days? And how much time is enough? Or is there a set amount of time that you recommend?
That's another issue, David, where employees have issues outside the workplace that are affecting their ability to focus. And what I've seen most employers in Oregon provide is a small amount of actual paid time off, separate and apart from any paid time off policy or vacation policy for bereavement leave to deal with the loss of a family member. Oregon, in the beginning of 2014, there was a new law in effect that required employers to provide up to 2 weeks of unpaid protected time off that the employee must take within 60 days of the loss of the family member. You know, I'm no psychologist, but I think that people struggling with the loss deal with it even after 3 days after the death. So that 3 days allows employees to take time off to deal with the affairs of the individual who's passed. Whereas now the state law allows the employee to deal more with the grieving process through the next 60 days, the next 2 months after the loss, being able to take additional time off. So whether that's enough, I think it probably varies from case to case, from person to person. But I think the Oregon law has tried to capture the ability of employees to continue to take some time off when they're struggling with grief, even after the death of a loved one.
Kyle, are there any other leave trends that employers should be especially on the lookout for in 2015?
Well, David, I think we'll see more and more discussion about paid time off laws upon the birth of a child. I think we'll see the terms maternity and paternity leave going away because fathers are being treated in the same manner as mothers with respect to their rights and their time off upon the birth of their son or daughter. We've already seen a push by several states to pass laws providing for some sort of paid time off for this purpose, and I think we'll see more and more states moving in that direction. I would expect the laws to take the form similar to the paid family leave law like California has. The sticking point, I think, will be whether the fund is paid by employee contributions, employer contributions, or a mix of both. New Jersey has a similar law that it's an employee-only contribution that funds that. It's just a matter of how the states come up with the way in which this law will be passed. This is not that different from the medical marijuana and the marijuana use laws that we see the states addressing, and there's no action on the federal government side. So it's a matter of the states coming up with these leave laws, and I think that's really where we'll see the trend moving. In the meantime, while the states are considering what laws to pass, there's been an increasing trend in employers on their own providing paid time off for the birth of a child. And like any benefit, when an employer provides something that other employers aren't, that gives them an advantage in the recruitment and retention arenas, and they can become the employer of choice and really attract quality candidates to the position. So in addition to the laws that are passed, I think more and more employers on their own will move towards providing some paid time off upon the birth of a child, assuming that they can afford to do so.
One question in listening to you talk about that, just to clarify, is that these paid time off for childbirth laws are different than the paid sick leave laws that we talked about before, correct?
Yes. The paid sick leave laws are typically employer-only contributions, so the employer has to pay the employees their normal wages for the period of time that they're off, whereas the family laws, there's deductions from their normal paychecks that are set aside in a state-managed pool of money to cover the loss of income once a claim is made.
Okay, well, we only have a couple of minutes left, Kyle, so want to ask if you have any final piece of advice for employers who are listening out there.
Yeah, paid time off is coming. It's coming in the form of city ordinances and state laws. Unfortunately, the state laws that have been passed on paid sick time do not preempt or trump the city ordinances on paid time off. So what that leaves employers with is a patchwork of rules to comply with. For example, when Oregon passes their statewide paid sick time law, employers in Portland will not only have to comply with that law, but they're also going to have to comply with the Portland ordinance. So, final piece of advice is if you haven't reviewed your paid time off policy lately, first, pull out the state law if one applies to you. Second, pull out your local ordinance if one applies to you. And third, you got to compare that with your current paid sick time off to evaluate whether you're still in compliance. So until there is a state law that preempts any of the local ordinances or a federal law that would preempt the local or state laws on paid time off, employers are left with a patchwork of laws to comply with. And my final advice is make sure you know which laws apply to you and take some time to review your policies to make sure you're in compliance.
And just before we go, people might find it interesting that prior to working in private practice, you were an attorney who handled employment matters in the JAG Corps. Maybe you could talk just a little bit about that and how that experience compared with what you do now, representing employers.
Yeah, absolutely, David. Yeah, in my prior career, I spent about 6 years on active duty as a judge advocate general for the Department of the Air Force. One of my assignments was to represent the department in employment and labor law matters. So not unlike any other federal agency, the Department of the Air Force has civilian employees who are federal employees. And so representing a federal agency is much different than representing a private sector employer in that the wages and benefits for the employees are largely mandated by regulation. So not unlike President Obama's direction on the State of the Union with respect to paid time off, with a stroke of a pen, he can change the laws and regulations that apply to the benefits. Whereas with the private employers, it's more of the companies have flexibility. If they want to become that employer of choice, they have flexibility to be able to do that. And then at the same time, there's local, state, and city laws that apply to the private employers to navigate. So it's the same concepts. You're still advising on employment matters, and employees who work for the federal government have the same issues that employees who work for a private employer have. There's just a different set of laws and a different set of rules that govern the relationship between the employers and the employees in the private sector versus the federal sector.
Okay, well, we'll let that be the last word. Kyle, thanks so much for your insights.
It's a pleasure being on this morning, David. Thank you.
Kyle Abraham practices in Portland, Oregon with Baron Liebman, where he represents employers. He's also the Director of Legislative Affairs for the Portland Human Resource Management Association Board and speaks frequently on employment and labor issues. I'm David Weisenfeld. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Continue checking our website regularly for more podcasts on key employment topics affecting the world of HR, including a recent program on employer wage theft. The opinions expressed in this program do not represent legal advice, nor should they necessarily be taken as the views of Expert HR or its employees. ExpertHR.com is published by Reed Business Information and is proudly partnered with LexisNexis. For more information about Expert HR and our subscription offering, call us toll-free at 1-855-973-7847. Again, that's 1-855-973-7847. And if you mention listening to this podcast, we'll give you 20% off a new subscription. Copyright 2015, all rights reserved.